Welcome, everyone, to this week's weekly market update, June 25th, about 9 o'clock Central Time, 30 minutes post-equity market open with myself and Carl. How are you?
I'm doing just swell today, Scott. Yourself?
Doing well. We obviously have quite a bit to cover, not only from last week's podcast, but really just from this week. So let's do our five-day numbers here. S&P down about 1%, Dow up about 1%. NASDAQ down about 3%, Russell up about 3%, and crude oil down about 8%. That's going to be a kind of a key topic of today's podcast. But really, when it comes to the major indices, at least on the equity front, sort of a mixed bag, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing this divergence into what the institutions are really investing in and what they're kind of holding back on. And all of it does have to kind of correlate around oil prices, what's been happening with oil prices. As you heard, they're coming down, right? What did you say the five-day number on oil was?
Down 8%.
Yeah, 8%. That's a big number. And I don't know about you, Scott. I'm seeing it on the gas stations as well. We had a high around here of like 385 for the kind of gas I get. And now it's down around 320, 330. So we're seeing that in real time happening on this side.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, if you think about just month over month, it's down 30%. Now, what you got to remember is we've seen in today's environment, at least, you know, volatility is on the uptick. And so you can see a stock. Well, we've seen individual stocks, even when we first started talking this morning, a couple of individual stocks that were up 20 and 30% in a day. You know, that's become more commonplace. But when you have something like a commodity, especially one like crude oil that touches every corner of the economy, down 30% month over month, that's a huge deal. And the reason for that is it drives inflationary data. And so I know we're going to get into that. I want to kick it to Carl's corner here in just a minute. But just to sort of recap on the equity front, we are seeing sort of an uptick in volatility today, especially. But I think it really all hinges on crude oil prices, which is going to impact, like we mentioned, any of the inflationary data, which tends to be delayed, right? So this would be a good opportunity to kick it over to Carl's corner.
You're absolutely right. The data for inflation is typically 3 to 4 months trailing. Then we have the global politics kind of situation, which typically happens a little bit faster. And then different metrics run about a 6 month delay, like tariffs run about a 6 month delay on inflationary data. And so we're finally really getting into the crux of the Iranian conflict and the increase in oil prices that happened during there. We're now about 3 months in, right? And we're seeing the data from today. So PCE came out today, which, as we have talked many times, is the one that the Fed utilizes the most and the one they really, really like that has a better grip on total inflationary data. And that came in exactly what we anticipated, which was 0.3 month over month. However, it is still higher than it has been in 3 years. It's still up there with inflation. And the reason I wanted to bring that up, and the reason we're talking about the delay, is because now that the oil prices are coming down, in 3 months, we're going to get the lower inflationary print due to lower oil, because oil touches everything, every single market it touches. And having that ability to have a 30% cut across the board for almost all industries is going to really help, and especially get to these 2026 numbers that Scott and I feel so passionate about.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And obviously there is some, which we never cover on here, obviously there's some geopolitical things behind the curtain that will affect us. But I do very much agree that we should see, and there's no doubt in my mind that 3 to 4 months from now has a significant timestamp to it. But you're right, we will start to see those lower inflationary data points. And you can actually just look at the dot plots and all that in terms of what the Fed is going to have to do. And Fed Chair Warsh is in a very interesting position to just be coming into this. So do not envy him at the moment. But I do think that we will continue to meet the statistical parameters that we have talked about for 2026 when it comes to portfolios and end of year returns. I don't waver on that at all. 2027, I think we're going to have a lot of opportunity to do the things that we've done many times in the past, where we get an opportunity to create a cash position and look for value buys and that sort of thing. But all in all, I think the longer term trajectory looks really good when it comes to, because again, you have to remember, markets really are apolitical to a degree. And it all really comes down to the macroeconomics. And that primarily in the last 30 years has been driven by interest rates. And so whatever scenario brings interest rates down is what helps equity markets, treasury markets, commodity, currency, all the ones that we cover. And I did talk about last week, Carl, on last week's podcast, I talked about how existing home sales actually went up, which is significant because the two most expensive things, and I'll get your take on this, typically the two most expensive things that you're ever going to do in your life is one, purchase a home, and two, retire. So when you see people purchasing first-time homes, I think it was 35% of those existing home sales were first-time home buyers. Well, they just made the second largest purchase of their life. The first largest purchase is going to be in about 30, 40 years from now. So it's that's a stimulant to the economy.
It absolutely is. And one of the things that touches those are interest rates, right? We're going back to the,
exactly,
the Fed rates and looking at that, because when that stimulates into the economy and you buy real estate, there's other things you have to purchase, other things you have to worry about, right? You have, sure, to worry about the utilities, yeah, of it. You have to worry about furnishing it. You have to worry about all these other things that play in. So what maybe not everyone realizes is once there's a new home buy, like you're not shifting, say if I move to a different home or someone who already owns a home moves to a different home, we're just going to bring our furniture over. So that doesn't have as big of an effect. But a brand new home buyer starting off when they were just renting and they have to do all these other things, that helps stimulate the economy, especially the local economy around, and which helps everything around it, which is going to be able to accelerate the economy.
Exactly. And what I was going to point out is that is the definition of the velocity of money.
The velocity of money. That's right. And can you explain again how fast the money actually changes hands when we're at peak velocity?
So especially when you get a deceleration in interest rates, right? So we get reduction in interest rates. What happens is, on average, I think the number is a single dollar changes hands 7 times every 10 minutes. And that ultimately very quickly goes into the economy, which is exactly what you were just describing. And then it ends up in the, you end up seeing it, visually seeing it in the markets. And it's a very interesting phenomenon that happens, especially to your point, when we have the reduction in interest rates. So once we start seeing inventory move on the home side, inventory move on the equity side, treasury side, all of it, it's all an investment, right? Everything is an investment. And so once you see an uptick in buying, then you start to see the recreation of the velocity of money. And that is ultimately a very healthy thing across the board.
And I kind of skipped over this briefly, but looking at the probabilities, we're still not looking for a rate hike until possibly the end of the year, which is exactly where we expected it to be after the oil's original increase. However, because the oil is coming down, we might be able to kick that into 2027, which is something that we have our eyes on. And we were very comfortable with where the portfolio is. But like we always say, we have about two or three other options, depending on what comes down the pipeline, to be able to make those quick shifts.
That's right. We're obviously, yeah, good point. We always keep our head on a swivel. We always have contingency plans for sure. You have to. But I think something you just said right there is something that we need to focus on going forward, which is because, I mean, we probably just need to do like a deep dive on one of these podcasts on the relationship between delayed data versus markets being forward looking, because you got kind of a two different sides of the pendulum there.
Right.
But I do think that's very interesting because if we do see that 3 month, delay data start coming in with PCE in particular, showing the decrease in, well, obviously oil prices, but what that has done to the inflationary data points, and that does kick it, the possibility of a rate hike into 2027. Well, if you think about it, that would line up perfectly with what we've been talking about anyways about the 2.5 year rule. So
Exactly.
just something to think about. That's kind of interesting. I'm glad you pointed that out.
It's just one of those things. And as everyone who listens to us knows, we are very statistically driven. It's one of the four key metrics that we utilize when making investment decisions. And one of the truest ones that goes back to 1946 is every 2.5 years of the 10% or more market correction. And so what people don't really talk about is the lead up to have a correction. That could be what we're in right now. Having 2026 be so positive as we've anticipated, and then 2027, as we've been talking about, having a bit of a drawdown year, which we anticipate creating cash for and preparing the portfolio for that kind of environment. It's just one of those things that you can kind of see it in real time happening. Increase in oil, changing in the Fed rates, possibly decrease in oil. And you can see, okay, now we're going to get the shift back up. It's all these things that are kind of planning and coming together like a nice puzzle piece.
That's right. And on different timelines, which is so important.
Precisely.
I love that. And just to further what you're saying, one of the things that I get excited about even years like next year, where we do anticipate the 2.5 year rule to come into play, that's an opportunity. If you look at almost all of those market corrections, they're followed by very steep recoveries. And so it's a great opportunity for our portfolios. You just have to be you have to be prepared for it, right? And that's exactly what you're pointing to. So that's great. I think we covered a lot today, given the market volatility. And when we started this podcast, the market was down. Now we're positive, and we've covered a lot of the good macro stuff that really is the most important right now. Did you have anything else you wanted to throw in there?
No, the biggest takeaway I want everyone listening to take was oil prices shifting, and that PCE is a report on what previously happened. It's not a forward-looking report. So
Right.
utilizing the new pricing in oil is how we're able to kind of do a forward-looking report for ourselves. And so that's what I want as the key takeaway in today's podcast. But I think we covered a lot. If anyone out there thinks someone might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Perfect. Well, with that, then I appreciate it, Carl. And we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're also going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.